The Encoded Pin, a novella by William and Melinda Van Zyl. The Encoded Pin is a story that demonstrates that love, hope and faith is stronger than death. The legacy of love which Haruto leaves behind speaks across generations. The mysterious and secret codes woven throughout this novel make this book a riveting and intriguing read. Chris Hill, the editor. An interesting and imaginative story, well detailed, says John Carstensen, author. Chapter 4. Finding Treasure. A blue ripple with tones of grey crisscrosses the dune-like ocean floor. The wavy pattern of the sea surface reflects down onto the bottom with artistic flair. Shades of blue and grey float mysteriously over the scuba divers as they move slowly, flipping now and then with their large black amphibian-shaped flippers. The water is diamond clear. Schools of bright-hued fish and exotic sea flowers decorate the sandy floor and small reef. The ocean floor is littered with dark, sinister coffins. The shapes are very distinct. Warplanes and warships lay strewn for hundreds of meters on the bottom of the harbor. The visibility is excellent. Strange-looking sea flowers stare from the jagged black reef. A small, friendly white and gray shark moves closer to the divers and bumps into one of the oxygen tanks. With a quick dart, the shark takes off into the great unknown. The rhythmic release of carbon dioxide bubbles sends a message to the surface. There is something very mysterious and beautiful down here, one of the divers thought. The bright searchlights of the divers scan meticulously to the left and right. They are looking for clues and treasure. In the white beam of the second diver's headlight dances thousands of micro-sea creatures and plankton. They represent every known shape and form. The divers stop momentarily. One of them takes his hand and tries to scoop some of the tiny creatures into his hand. The micro creatures escape in streams of translucent biological beauty. The diver is fascinated by the amazing little critters. The direct sunlight exposes their tiny white skeletal frames. One of the divers can see the alphabet in the curvatures. There is the letter H, and there's an A, he thinks to himself. A large, dark, red, rising sun appears. Half of the reddish sun is covered in a variety of shellfish, barnacles, and green seaweed. It is a mosaic of tombstone art. The sea plants move slowly back and forth, waving to the diver to come closer as the strong ocean currents move everything in its path. A couple of nosy crustaceans scatter for safety under the large plain wreckage when the searchlight falls on them. They kick up a small cloud of sand and dust in their wake. The tiny cloud of sand granules spirals for a second and then falls lazily back into its original position on the ocean floor. The graveyard is disturbed. On the jagged rocks, just under the wreckage, the coral is dusty pink, with cream module clusters of white sea plants. The white floral sea plants wave their flags in honor of the deserted dark gray World War II plane wrecks of the past. It silently plays tribute to the fallen admirals, officers, seamen, gunners, soldiers, sailors, and pilots. At first, it seems like the wreckages are deserted, but the searchlight reveals a warplane cockpit still intact. Two divers signal to each other with their hands and fingers. Let's investigate. The seasoned scuba diver takes a small ice pick-shaped hammer from his tool belt and taps on the almost 70-year-old cockpit glass. As the tapping vibrates through the water, the unfamiliar sound waves wake up sleeping crabs and lobsters. They scatter in different directions, hiding from the imminent danger of the sharp ice pick hammer. The glass makes a muffled shatter as the first cockpit glass pane splinters into hundreds of tiny shards. The light green stained glass floats lazily to the ocean floor and down into the cockpit. The tiny pieces of glass are in no hurry. They glide like parachutes, oscillating to the left and right. The sharp hammer shatters more glass and panes of the cockpit. The two divers are now able to get into the cockpit. They attach their floating searchlights onto the side of the fuselage with specially designed magnets. Effortlessly, the first diver, closest to the seat, floats into the cockpit. He sits in the warplane seat. He looks like a mysterious samurai kamikaze pilot in the gray and black cockpit. The diver gives the okay signal to his friend. A tingle runs down the spine of the diver when he realizes he is now the pilot of the death plane. Images of the kamikaze pilot from the past flash through the diver's mind. It scares him. He relives the rushing image of the large warship as the kamikaze pilot dives down to crush into the warship. He clenches the steering controls. His knuckles turn surrender white. He waits for the impact. A brightly colored clownfish moves into the cockpit and appears to laugh at him. Ha ha, it's only a wreck. The cockpit is filled with a ghost-like amphibian pilot with a second amphibian alien hanging onto the side of the cockpit. The diver outside the cockpit signals with an O shape with his fingers to the second diver. Everything is fine. The pilot diver sighs with relief. Inside the hardly recognizable fighter plane cockpit, the dashboard seems to stare at the two divers without emotion. A small yellow sentry fish guards the deserted instrument panel. It is as if the yellow-uniformed guard is sternly barking, "Hey, what are you doing here? Do you have permission to be here?" The unfriendly yellow sentry fish rushes away in a hurry to sound the alarm. The instrument panel is covered with many gauges, switches and buttons. Some are rusted away. Green algae, rust barnacles and small shells with a cluster of mussels here and there cover the once immaculate instrument panel. A tiny copper nameplate, hardly recognizable, sits proudly above the altimeter. It is still legible, and the diver moves closer to read it. It reads Mitsubishi 0 model number 214955, made in Japan, just below the Japanese text. It has stood the test of time, at least up to now. The altimeter pointer sits at zero. It cannot go any lower. A random thought runs through the pilot diver's mind. I wonder from what height did this kamikaze pilot attack? The two divers are lost in a world of war and the images of the attack on Pearl Harbor in the 1940s by the Japanese Air Force. It flash through their minds. It conjures up chaos, out-of-control fires, and the deafening thunder of bombs exploding. For several minutes, they admire the beautiful vintage plane wreck. They move on to the next plane wreck. They carefully smash the cockpit glass. The particular plane wreck has a ripped jacket wrapped around the pilot's seat. It draws them in closer and closer. The one diver reaches out to the jacket, and as he touches the half-disintegrated jacket, a small object releases. It slowly floats to the bottom of the cockpit, pendulating rhythmically sideways like a glider's wings in a thermal updraft. He swims through the cockpit window. He finds the object between the seat and the side of the fuselage. He carefully lifts it out with his hand. What could it be? Is it a nameplate of some sort? The nameplate is partially covered with patches of seaweed and a couple of tiny mussel shells. He recognizes the letter H and the letter O. The diver tucks it carefully into his diving bag and continues to search for more clues and artifacts in the plane. Continue reading this novella at fivehousepublishing.com. Thanks for listening.